looking at the game right in front of us. We're disappointed tonight. We didn't get the result. We didn't play well enough. We got outplayed. All we can do is figure out what we can take from it and try to apply it to the next game. And that's what we'll try to do. We're going to have to stay in the fight here. We're still in it. And that's the way we got to look at it. We got to stay with it.
I've had a consistent message as it relates to the Penguins for months now as their struggles to secure a playoff spot continue. And that has been after 16 years in a row of making the playoffs. I'm not going to bet against them making it, but the way they're playing, I sure as hell ain't betting my money on them making it either. I'm Tim Benz. This is the Pittsburgh CityCast brought to you by Bet Rivers. Bet now from anywhere. Download the Bet Rivers app or go online to BetRivers.com. Mike Sullivan opening up the podcast today after last night's loss to the New Jersey Devils for the Penguins. Coming to you from Tampa, Florida today for the Frozen Four. More on that to come in a little bit. Actually recording this at the Tampa International Airport outside. Anyhow, to get the podcast uploaded for Bet Rivers. We're going to start with the Penguins today, and then we're going to get into the Frozen Four. That's why I'm here. We'll discuss the odds there, and we're going to look at the playoff spot that the Penguins are fighting for at length. Got to mix in some Steelers conversation, too, as the draft is upcoming. We get a draft preview with Matt Williamson, our pro and college scout on ESPN Pittsburgh and on Steeler Nation Radio. He's my broadcast partner for Countdown to Kickoff during the regular season for the Steelers, and he joins us to start off our draft preview by looking at the secondary today. But we begin with the Penguins. If you had the Devils like I did, you're feeling pretty good about that result today, and you coasted to victory last night. The Penguins barely put up a fight. They certainly don't look like a team that's fighting for a playoff spot. They actually look like a team that's been eliminated for months. Another game where the Penguins look old, creaky, leaky, and spent. Another loss in Division 2, and that'll be a story on the epitaph of this season for the Penguins, regardless of how it ends. Just how bad they've been in their own division. 10-10-5 in the Metro so far. 500 when you take away the loser column, the loser point column. And the few games that the Penguins have won against the division have come against bad teams beneath them in the standings. Against the top teams like the Islanders and everybody better, they've been terrible. As it sits right now, though, they're still alive in ninth place behind the Panthers and the Islanders. Those two teams have 87 points and currently hold the two wild card positions. The Penguins have 86 with a game against the Minnesota Wild coming up on Thursday. The Wild have 98 points and are tied for the Central Division lead with the Colorado Avalanche and Dallas. Boy, what a crazy division that is with three teams sitting atop the division as it stands right now. At least the Penguins are playing against a few teams in the Central between now and the end of the season. Not only Minnesota, but also Chicago. They're 12-2 against the Central, so keep that in mind for your wagering purposes as we move forward through the rest of the regular season campaign. 19-11 overall against Western teams. The other two games against Detroit and Columbus in the East. And I would think that the Penguins are playing for their playoff lives, and they've got Detroit, Columbus, and Chicago to wrap up the season. They should get 6 points against the Wings, Blue Jackets, and Blackhawks if they need them. Three non-playoff teams, that should be enough to get the eighth seed. Then again, given how they lost the Red Wings twice, that's hardly a lock. The Panthers have a tough schedule remaining, especially after Ottawa on Thursday. From there, they've got the Caps, Toronto, and Carolina, but who knows if those games will mean anything for the Maple Leafs and for the Hurricanes. That could be a big problem for the Penguins if those games are meaningless for Florida's opposition. The Islanders are the reverse of the Panthers and similar to the Pens. They have one tough one on Thursday against the Lightning at home. Then they got three non-playoff teams, Philly, Washington, and the Canadiens. So I think the Islanders make it, and then it's up to the Penguins and Panthers from there and maybe the standings from there. If you think about it, given who the Panthers have to play, and there's no reason to bet on the Penguins except for history. None. And that history is getting more ancient every day. No lines available yet on these games at Bet Rivers. The futures are up, of course, though, for the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, and Stanley Cup, as they have been all season. Boston still plus 325 to win the Cup, and I feel great about making that play. Meanwhile, Minnesota is plus 150 to win the Frozen Four here in Tampa. that's where I am right now at the airport, as you can hear. And that's where I'm going with it. I'm going with the Golden Gophers. I also like the over total at 7 on a plus 106 payout for the first game of the day with Minnesota against Boston University. Then the nightcap under 6 for Michigan and Quinnipiac. That's where I'm leaning. The Wolverines can score for sure, but Quinnipiac allows nothing. Their goalie was a top 10 Hobie Baker finalist, and they're like the college version of the Devils from the 1990s. So I'm going under on that one, and I'm going with the Golden Gophers to win the whole thing. Like I said, a plus 150 with West Mifflin's Logan Cooley leading the charge. He's a top 3 Hobie finalist with teammate Matthew Nyes, by the way. That's a great line. Nyes, Cooley, and Jimmy Snuggerud, a draft choice in last year's NHL draft, like Cooley was, like Nyes was the year before. Best line in college hockey by far. Best one in a while, I'd say. The Gophers haven't won a Frozen Four since 2003. This is their 5th since then. They often have the most talent. They often come up short anyway. I think those trends stopped this year, and I think the Gophers grab the crown. Now, the Pirates, they'll be playing the Red Sox by the time this podcast posts. And boy, Brian Reynolds sure has been hot so far. What an individual payoff player he's been when it comes to homers, when it comes to over total bases. We'll talk about them more next week because that game against the Red Sox probably by the time this post will be underway. They'll get the White Sox for the home opener at PNC Park on Friday. Steelers talk now. Like I said, the draft coming up at the end of the month. And each week between now and then, I'll have at least a portion of a podcast that I did with Matt Williamson, my broadcast partner at ESPN Pittsburgh for Countdown to Kickoff on Wednesday nights. Also a former pro and college scout. He'll break down the draft prospects by position. And today we start by looking at the secondary. You can hear all the podcasts that I've done with Matt so far in their entirety at Breakfast with Ben's. And because we're starting in the secondary, we are starting with Joey Porter Jr., the Penn State corner, North Allegheny product. Of course, he's the son of former Steelers All-Pro linebacker Joey Porter Sr., who was also on Mike Tomlin's coaching staff. And we're also starting with the most pressing question that Steelers fans seem to have, which is Steelers draft analysis as simple as, if Porter is on the board at 17, the Steelers will definitely take him, regardless of who else might be available? I asked that of Matt Williamson.
Close. I don't think that's exactly the case, to be very honest with you. And the more I dig into this in late March, I don't love picking at 17, to be honest with you. Overall, I think this class is lacking blue chip talent. And there's a misnomer that there's 32 valid first round picks every year. Usually, honestly, there's 15, 18, something along those lines. And I think this year's lighter than that than usual. But I do think the tier after that is very strong. I like the depth on day 2 quite a bit. I think the second round is very strong. You know, we're talking defensive backs. I think the corner class in general is exceptional and deep. So, yes, I have no problem taking Porter at 17, but he has his flaws, and it's a deep position. I think 32 into the second day, you'll get good corner talent. And I'll be honest, I mean, Porter to me has some work to do. I think he has one career interception. He looks the part. He's very physical, like his father, extremely long arms. He's a press man cover corner, though, and the Steelers do play a lot of man, but he's not great with his back pedal. He's not great taking the ball away. He's not great in zone, but there's a lot there to work with.
That's your thought. What do you think their thought is? Are they going to be able to stay away from the temptation of taking Porter's son?
Probably not. And an exercise I haven't done yet that I do every year is I build my board their top 17 this year. And Porter will absolutely be in it. I just don't think that he's a run to the podium, have to have him do jumping jacks if he gets to 17 type of guy.
You sound almost inclined for the Steelers to really consider trading down.
Yes, I really do, to be honest with you. Like, I'm sure we'll talk about several prospects that I say run to the podium, take him if he's there, great. And Porter's close to that to me but he's not a slam dunk no-brainer. I just don't know, when it's all said and done, this is going to sound terrible, but it really isn't. I don't know that the 17th pick is vastly more valuable than the 32nd. So at 17,
are you saying that any year matter this year?
This year. Absolutely this year. So I really don't think that the 17th pick is all that much different than the 23rd pick. So if you could pick up a third or a future pick to move down a handful of spots, unless there's two or three guys that happen to fall to you, I would be very open to that.
Let me ask that question then in a different way. And this might be a self-fulfilling answer then, but let's say Porter is on the board at 17 and they don't feel like he's a threat to go until 23 or 22. They can get that third. What would you think of the idea of trading back to get Porter then somewhere later in the first round and get some draft capital later on in the draft?
As it stands, again, I don't know who the first 16 picks are going to be. None of us do. But I think there's a very high percentage chance that I will say, after 16 players have been selected, man, I would love to trade down 5, 6, 7 picks. And I also think after 31 players are picked and everyone retires to their caves and they look at their draft board, that the Steelers will get a lot of calls for that 32nd pick too. And I think that's probably the best way of doing business, but it's easy for you and I to say, oh, they should trade down. I don't know what offers they'll get, of course, you know.
If we're looking at the Steelers at 17 and Devin Witherspoon, Cam Smith, or Christian Gonzalez are there, are they a run to the podium at 17 guy at corner for the Steelers?
Gonzalez is 100%. Witherspoon is 100%. To me, Cam Smith is a borderline first rounder. I don't know that I would take him at 32, but I wouldn't object to it. So my corner ranks go Gonzalez, Witherspoon, Porter. So if I think Porter's more often than not worth the 17th, yes, but I don't think Smith is worth 17. I would not trade you 17 for Cam Smith today.
The two names that have gotten some helium in conversation at corner for the Steelers, and this is often parenthetically brought up with the thought, if Joey Porter goes earlier, because I think a lot of people to our earlier conversation just assume that if Porter's son is there out of Penn State, they'll take him. But if he's gone, or they trade back, or they decide they can't say no to an edge or an offensive tackle that's there, a couple corners that I've heard that have been brought up for the Steelers, maybe at 32, if they stick with that pick, or they figure out a way to trade back into the first or something like that, Emmanuel Forbes and Deontay Banks. Forbes out of Mississippi State and Banks out of Maryland.
Let's start with Banks. I mentioned I haven't done it yet, but I will definitely put a board together as if I was in charge of the Steelers draft. I pretty much will promise you Banks will be in my top 17, probably 15, 16, 17.
So he'd be like your fourth corner then after Porter.
He is my fourth corner. Yeah, I like him more than Cam Smith, who you mentioned. Extremely athletic, very, very fluid. Like Porter, only one career interception, but he's a little more versatile than Porter. I think there's a lot there to work with, traits. And his tape certainly isn't bad at all. So the other one was Forbes. I don't know what.
And Banks is from Maryland, by the way.
Banks is from Maryland. They'll know a lot about him, too, you know, just like Porter. And you know, they were critical. People were critical of the Steelers. That they take these guys that they know so much about, Pickett and Hayward last year. I defend them. I mean, that's what scouting's all about. It's gathering information. If I know more about Porter than I do about, you know, whomever, then I'm going to feel more comfortable. I don't want to miss. Now, Forbes to me, Tim, is unbelievably interesting. Between Witherspoon and Forbes, those two have the best tape of anyone in this cornerback class. He's 167 is my problem with Forbes. I mean, he is dangerously thin.
Okay.
I mean, I think he set the NCAA record for pick sixes. He takes the ball away. His film is tremendous, but his lower body is so lean. I mean, his waist, his calves, his ankles. I don't know if you could put 5 more pounds on the guy. I don't know if he can tackle Nick Chubb coming around the corner. So I don't think I can buy into Forbes at 17 or 32. Even though his tape is tremendous, but I mean, he's well under 170 pounds.
Last thing on the corners, Matt. I don't know how you felt about the free agency decisions, but I would have been, especially with the depth of corner, as you've already outlined, I would have been okay with them keeping Sutton, signing Peterson, and taking a corner somewhere in the first three rounds. I would have been fine with that. How about you?
You said keep Sutton, sign Peterson, and draft
one. Yeah, and draft a corner with cachet. I would have been fine with that because I think they're thin there.
I do too, and I frankly thought Sutton would have come back to the Steelers. Before the, you know, I can't talk out both sides of my mouth. I thought going into the free agency period, Sutton would have been my, you know, top priority of upcoming Steeler free agents. And I don't want to say they overpaid, but he got more than I thought at around 11 a year for a good to above average corner on his third contract. So I think you're being a little greedy there in terms of the money. That would have been ideal because Sutton's versatility of inside out and all those things would have been really, really nice. But I do think the second they signed Peterson, I said, oh, he's going to mentor a first or second round cornerback for sure. I mean, that's the perfect guy to do that.
Last thing on the secondary, is this a draft where they can find a player that can contribute this year at safety? Somewhere on day two, day three, what do they do in general at safety, and how do you dovetail that into the talent pool available at safety in this draft?
I don't love this safety class. I think when the third round, Jair Brown, Sidney Brown, those type, Jatavius Martin, there's a couple names that interest me that I don't think I can use any of the Steelers' first three picks on, but after that, mid rounds. But one name I think we have to talk about that we haven't is a tremendous football player out of Alabama, Brian Branch. Now, he didn't test well at the NFL Combine, but he is the best slot corner in this draft, and he's the best safety in this draft. And frankly, it isn't even close. And he's a slightly less athletic version of Minka coming out of Alabama. Wow. He was Saban's quarterback. I mean, Saban always has a defensive back that he trusts to no end. That's Brian Branch. And what you, and frankly, athleticism at safety and slot corner are vastly overrated. It's a lot of head learning, seeing the game, communication. So I would consider Branch at 17, and he would kind of kill two birds with one stone. But there's also a slight chance he might be there at 32, which is the crux of the conversation we opened this thing with, that I don't know the picks 17 and 32 are vastly more valuable than the other.
All right, so my thanks to Matt Williamson. And next week we're going to talk about the defensive front for the Steelers, who they might like in the front seven. I think that's a very evolving point of conversation based on how the personnel is changing for the Steelers when it comes to what they're looking at in their front seven. But we'll hear from Matt on that next week. The Steelers at plus 6,000 right now to win the Super Bowl. If you look overall at the AFC, the Steelers are plus 3,000 to win that. And then the long shots in the North at plus 550. And I'd actually put them in front of the Browns, maybe in front of the Ravens based on what's going on with Lamar Jackson. They're still at plus 400. If it comes to pass that Jackson's definitely not going to play for the Ravens, of course, I think they'll fall behind the Steelers. And I still think the Steelers have a good shot of being at least second in that division. All right, that'll do it for us this week. We'll be back next week back in Pittsburgh, but we'll have another edition of the Pittsburgh CityCast next week. Make sure you check out the Bet Rivers Network throughout the week. I'll be back with Mark Madden as well next Thursday for his podcast, too, here in the Bet Rivers Network. Download the app today or go to BetRivers.com and bet now from anywhere.
Thanks for listening to the Pittsburgh CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.